This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up Psalms 97 through 100. Let the earth rejoice. He preserves his saints. Break forth into joyous song. The Lord our God is holy, and his steadfast love endures forever. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
Thank you. A reading from 1 Kings chapter 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
The place where Elisha was from was called Abel-Meholah in Hebrew. It means the meadow of dancing, and rightly so. Today, even, it remains one of the most productive areas in the entire land of Israel. And the family of Shaphat, who was the father of Elisha, as we heard, had been blessed by this place that they lived in. You can allegorize the 12 yoke of oxen if you would like. I'm not sure what you're going to end up with. But of a certainty, we know that those 24 oxen indicated that the family of Shaphat, Elisha's family, was exceedingly wealthy. You can probably imagine how Elisha must have had this whole thing figured out. His inheritance, when his father died, would provide him not just with a living, an eke-by living, but a great living. And dancing in the meadow of dancing until his own sons inherited that plot of land from him. Now this episode, this event in 1 Kings took place sometime, we know, just based upon when they can plow in this area of the world. Took place sometime in late October or early November. The rains had set in. The hard pan had gotten softened up by those rains. The temperature had grown cooler. It was plowing time. And so Elisha gathered 24 oxen, yoked them, probably stripped down to what you and I would call shirt sleeves, and he set about his work back and forth along the long way of the field to preserve the oxen's energy. And as he was doing that, a man approached. He was clad in an edereth, says in Hebrew. We call it a cloak or mantle, maybe. The word only appears a handful of times in the Old Testament. Seems like it was much more than just a cloak. At Jericho, Achan, who had an eye for silver and gold and the fine things of life, absconded with an edereth that had come to him from Shinar. And Jacob's special garment that felt like his brother's hairy arms was also an edereth. So whatever this thing was, even if the two had never met, Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's bespoke garment told Elisha everything. It marked him as Israel's prophet. And this prophet approached, wriggling out of his edereth, whatever it was. He took it off, flung it open, and then threw it upon Elisha. You might imagine what was running through his mind. Perhaps Jonathan giving his armor to David to indicate that the kingdom was passing to David. Perhaps Moses stripping off the clothing of Aaron and giving it to Eleazar and putting it on him to indicate that the high priesthood had passed to Eleazar. In other words, what Elisha experienced, what he witnessed, was a sermon and an ordination without words. And pious Elisha, he heard the word of God and obeyed. That's what his next word betrayed. He would take leave of his father and mother, one kiss, and it was going to be goodbye. Because however Elijah had been called by God, the Lord was now calling Elisha through Elijah. Whatever Elijah had been called by God to proclaim, so now also Elisha. Wherever Elijah was going, Elisha too must go. Because it wasn't so much Elijah, not really Elijah at all, but the Lord through Elijah who was calling him. So, a rupture with his past life, at least on the surface, but not in the deep counsel of God, who sets aside his own from eternity and knows his prophets even in the womb. And resting in that eternal counsel of God and his gracious provision, Elisha took the self-same 24 oxen with which he had been plowing, his own livelihood and his family's, and he slaughtered and sacrificed them and boiled them and shared them with the good and pious folk of Abel-Meholah, a peace offering. Father and mother, and the good and pious people of Abel-Meholah, bidding their own son and a son of the town peace to pursue the Lord's calling. Elisha departing without fear for his own future or his family's, his own security or his town's, or the distance that would separate him from his loved ones. From now on, his family could not be first his parents and extended family in Abel-Meholah, rather his brothers and sisters, mother and father were to be those who heard the word of God that he proclaimed and kept it, even if there were only 7,000. That's the event. So why in the world did the Lord choose to record the event? What does he want us to learn from this? Well, first, he gave it as an example for those who desire the office of overseer, of pastor. Life as Elisha knew it was never the same, never, after he kissed his parents on the cheek and slaughtered his 24 oxen. It's not just that he couldn't go back to what he once had, it's that he didn't have anything to go back to. But he did it with great confidence, not in himself, but in the Lord. That the Lord, who could preserve and increase wealth, could also feed a prophet by ravens. How much more is that the case today, when Christ, whom the Father didn't spare but gave up for us all, has said to us, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, for your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things." Second, as an example for those who are actually called to the work of shepherding the flock of Christ. And this should resonate with all of us today, especially. Have courage, pastors and future pastors. Be of good cheer, even in the darkest of times. In those days, the word of God had been persecuted to silence. It was a miracle, a poor consolation, though, that the Lord had left 7,000 faithful. And yet, undaunted, Elisha faithfully fulfilled his calling, confident in God's word, not to return to God void. Third, as a comfort for those who are called to the work of shepherding the flock of Christ. It was just after the whipsaw of the ministerial triumph at Mount Carmel over the prophets of Baal, followed by his ministerial implosion in self-loathing and doubt of self and doubt of God and blaming God, that Elijah was directed to Elisha and found him. How much more, brothers, in the Holy Christian Church, in the communion of saints, whereas the baptismal dowry you have is the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. The Lord actually uses your fellow believers and fellow brothers in the office to give you company to encourage you when discouraged, and to proclaim Christ's victory when you're weighed down by your own sins, by your own guilt, by your own failure, so that even for you, Christ might be all in all. Fourth, we are given this episode as an encouragement for the church of Christ. With 12 yoke of oxen, it's hard to imagine just how successful Elisha was. What a contributor he was to his own community there at Abel Meholah. What a pillar of the town, and generous and pious as well. The kind of man it would be an absolute shame to lose, the kind of man that you really want to keep around. For the sake of the prophetic and apostolic word, which always needs a preacher, the church gives her promising young men to the Lord, gladly, wholeheartedly, unanimously. From his mother and father, Elisha received the kiss of peace. And from the pious people of Abel Meholah, he received not reluctant, but peaceful release to go and proclaim the word of God. Fifth, this is given to us as a comfort for the church of Christ, as a comfort and for confidence in Christ's word. You all know this. Elisha didn't create and fill his own prophetic office, nor did he come with a proprietary message. And just as the Lord called Elisha through Elijah, so today does he call pastors through men. They are his pastors, though. They speak his word. When they bind sins, they're actually bound. Even more blessedly, when they forgive sins, they are forgiven. When they teach God's law, it's God's will, not theirs. And when they tell you, the people of Christ, that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has died for your sin and by his death opened the way to everlasting life for you, that is not their own message. It's God's, and it's his will, that every one of you believe it. God grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
my prayer, O Lord.
Let my heart come to you.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to fear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Sanctify, O Lord, our souls, bodies, and spirits. Examine our minds and search our consciences. Take from us all evil imaginations, all impurity of thought, all inclinations to lust, all depravity of the mind, all envy, pride, and hypocrisy, all falsehood, deceit, and irregular living, all covetousness, vainglory, and sloth, all malice, anger, and wrath, all remembrance of injuries, all blasphemy, and every motion of flesh and spirit that is contrary to the purity of your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have protected me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties and my life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.